We have been talking about worship for many weeks now, and you're probably saying, Monty, we're getting tired of talking about worship. Worship is important. God sent Jesus that we might have a worship that is pleasing to God. When Jesus came and he was talking about worship, he told the woman from Samaria that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in truth. And we read from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. 3,000 people were baptized. And have you ever noticed what the very next verse is after their baptism? It's verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Isn't that amazing? They're baptized, and the next thing we read about is that they're worshiping. It is important for us to learn to worship properly. And that's why I have been giving a series of lessons on proper worship. We've talked about worship in the Lord's Supper. We've talked about worship and giving. We've talked about worship and singing and worship and prayer. And this morning we're going to talk about worship and hearing the Word of God. Now the Word of God can be heard in many ways. Preaching, teaching, public reading of the Word, or in private reading of the Word. Hearing the Word of God is an important part of worship. True biblical worship, we've discovered, must have certain essentials for it to be acceptable to God. We've learned that first it must be from the heart. Now, when I say from the heart, what does that mean? Yeah, sincere. Now, we all know that there's things that are sincere and things that aren't sincere. We've probably all had some people that have said things to us, sounded good, but we knew their heart wasn't behind it. That's insincerity. God knows when we are sincere or not sincere. And so he says, sincerity in worship, heart worship, is important. We can read about where God did not accept worship. Why? Because the hearts were far from God. Secondly, worship must be done with understanding and devotion to God. We need to understand what we are worshiping and why we are worshiping. And we need to do that in devotion to God. God doesn't want a worship that is forced. He wants a worship from the heart. He wants it in devotion and out of love for the things that he has done for us. And third, we have seen that worship must be in accordance with the will of God. God has said how we should worship. If you look at the Old Testament, you're going to find out when the Israelites tried to worship in ways that were not acceptable. I'm thankful we live in the age of grace and not in the age of the Old Testament, because sometimes he struck people dead. Wouldn't that be wonderful if someone here wasn't worshiping properly and all of a sudden God struck them dead? Well, be thankful that you're living in the age of grace and that he doesn't do that. In the Old Testament, there were times when he did do that. It's amazing when we study the Bible what all we can find out. But anything less is not acceptable, but even anything more is not acceptable. Remember, Jesus often complained about the Pharisees' worship. They seemed to add things. Now, the things they added weren't necessarily bad, but the things they added became more important than the worship that God wanted. And so Jesus said, these things are not right as well. But this morning, we are going to concentrate on worshiping with the thought, worship by hearing the Word of God. Think about it. When we pray, what do? We talk to God. Can you imagine that? We are allowed to talk to God. We are allowed to address God as what? His Father. When the child comes and talks to his father, does the father ignore that child? Usually the father will listen. I know my children had learned if they want something that's going to cost money, don't go to mom, go to dad. Now, if they needed tender, loving care, they went to mom. But if they wanted something from the pocketbook, well, they came to papa. The kids learned, but our God is that way. If we need something, Jesus said, then go to the Father in my name. And if it is for his glory, and if it's according to his will, he will give it to you. We should learn where we can go for the things that we need in life. But as we study the Word of God, what is God doing with us? He's talking. He's speaking to us. Sometimes I think we people tend to be crazy. We pray to God, and then we start, well, he's not talking to me. He hasn't sent me a sign. He hasn't done any kind of miracle for me. It's because we're listening in the wrong place. He has given us his word, and through that word we learn the will of God. Through the word we learn guidelines and principles that God has given human beings so that we might live properly, walk properly, and worship properly. Now, he may not have spoken to every single situation that there is, but he has given us truths and guidelines and principles that when known and applied properly, can get us through all aspects of this life. This word is God's word, and he speaks to us through that word. Remember the parable about building houses in the Bible? There were two builders. One builder built upon a rock, and what happened? Stood firm. And Jesus said the person that built upon the rock was a person that heard the word of God and did what? Did it. Obeyed it. And then there was another builder. He built upon sand. What happened to his house? Plop. So I can't remember what word the song uses. What did Jesus say this builder was? The person who heard the word of God, just like the first one, but there's a difference. What didn't he do? He didn't do it. It's important that we understand this fact. Worship in hearing the word of God starts off in reading and hearing the Bible and realizing that this is the very Word of God. Peter's not speaking. Paul is not speaking. Matthew is not speaking. God himself is speaking. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The New American Standard Bible. The brethren at Berea in Acts 17:11 were praised. Now listen to why they were praised. Yes. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. There's two important parts here. First, they received it eagerly. They wanted to hear. They desired to hear. And when Paul said something, well, they didn't believe him because he was Paul. They went themselves to the Word and examined it. Is Paul telling the truth or is he fibbing? Did he make a mistake or is he correct? They went to the Word themselves to learn, to check up, to grow. Hearing the Word of God with eagerness is important, for there is no other way for modern man to learn the will of God. You can go in nature. I've heard this. Like, I go to nature and God talks to me. Well, what does God say in nature? The glory of God is seen in nature, but we don't learn His will. So we see the heavens declare His glory. Nature affirms His existence. Our thinking, our reason demands a first cause. But Scripture is where we learn the will of God. It's where we learn what He wants for men and for women, the purpose for which we are created. This is only learned and revealed by God in Scripture. Some points here. First, it is only through hearing God's Word that we come to a belief, a faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Now we need to remember, the words that have been written down by the apostles and by these other men of God were only possible because the Holy Spirit reminded the apostles of the words of Jesus. So when they wrote, they were writing the words of Jesus and not their own words. Second, it is only through hearing God's Word that we can know the will of God for our life. It is not enough to have traditions. Traditions might be based upon truth, they might not. We cannot rely on assimilation from culture. At different times, culture tends to want different things. But the Word of God is steady. It doesn't change. Culture changes. When I was a boy, bell bottoms were in. And then they were out for a long, long time. I think for a short period, bell bottoms did come back. I might have been in Germany during that time because I saw bell bottoms in stores. When I was a kid, the hula hoop was real big. When I was a kid, I don't know what they were called, these glass balls, and you bounced them back and forth. Clackers. Nature changes. Culture changes. But God remains the same. And we need to hear and study the Word to remain the same. We cannot always rely upon dynamic teachers and preachers. I've known of some who have left the faith and have taken thousands with them. I've known of men who made mistakes, not willingly, accidentally. And many were hurt through that. Religious leaders and their theological speculations are fallible. But the Word does not change. That's why it's important to read and study even at home. I'd be more than happy if you go to internet, download my sermons, and check to see if I made mistakes. Jerry's already corrected me a few times. I don't mind being corrected. I want to know and preach the truth because I'm honest. But we need to realize the Word is inspired, not the man. John 17:17. Jesus said, make them ready for your service through your truth. Your Word is truth. It is only through hearing God's Word that we Christians can obtain maturity. Listen listen to what God says about a lack of growth and maturity in Hebrews 5, starting with verse 12. By now you should be teachers, he says, but you need someone to teach you again the first lessons of God's message. You still need the teaching that is like milk. You are not ready for solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still a baby and knows nothing about right teaching. But solid food is for those who are grown up. They have practiced in order to know the difference between good and evil. And I hope you notice that word, practiced. There's a time when we stop drinking milk. Colin, do you still drink milk? He says, no, particularly not out of a bottle. But you like, I guess you do. Do you like steak and potatoes? You need them because they help you to grow strong and healthy. Oh, I forgot those vegetables, didn't I? Yeah, those green beans and peas. We need more than milk. And where do we get that? We have to be ready to go into the deeper things to grow and mature properly. The key to immaturity is their lack of knowing the will of God. Listen to what God said in Hebrews chapter 2, 1 and 3. So we must be more careful to follow what we were taught, then we will not stray from the truth. The teaching God spoke through angels are shown to be true, and anyone who did not follow it or obey it received the punishment that was earned. So surely we also will be punished if we ignore this great salvation. The Lord himself first told about this salvation, and it was proven true to us by those who heard him. Fourth, it is only through hearing God's word that we can properly prepare ourselves for judgment. Jesus said in John 12:48, there is a judge for those who refuse to believe in me and do not accept my words. The word I have taught will be their judge on the last day. Hearing the word of God becomes even more important when we realize we will be judged by the words of Jesus in this book. I want you to try to imagine the scene at Mount Sinai when the Israelites received the law of Moses. They went to this mountain. The mountain was called Holy. The mount trembled. It burned with fire. God himself spoke to the people from the mountain. Matter of fact, the people became so afraid that they begged God not to speak to them directly. They said, please, please, speak to Moses. And Moses himself said, I am afraid. I shake in fear. Not only that, but God said, any living creature that touches my holy mountain must be stoned to death. They shook in fear. And this is what the Hebrew writer, how he describes that in Hebrews 12, starting with verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. You have not come to darkness, sadness, and storms. You have not come to the noise of a trumpet or to the sound of a voice like the one the people of Israel heard and begged not to hear another word. They did not want to hear the command, if anything, even an animal, touches the mountain, it must be put to death with stones. What they saw was so terrible that Moses said, I am shaking with fear. The giving of the law at Mount Sinai was an awesome, terrifying experience. God spoke his word to Israel, and this word would be their law. It would guide them through life, and it would be their judge. in Hebrews 12:25, it says, so be careful and do not refuse to listen when God speaks. Others refused to listen to him when he warned them on earth, and they did not escape. So it will be worse for us if we refuse to listen to God who warns us from heaven. When he spoke before, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once again I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once again clearly show us that everything that was made, things that can be shaken, will be destroyed. Only the things that cannot be shaken will remain. So let us be thankful because we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We should worship God in a way that pleases him with respect and fear, because our God is like a fire that burns things up. We should worship God in a way that pleases him with respect and fear. Brethren, we must not take the word of God lightly. It is awesome and it is powerful. When Mary was approached by the angel, and the angel told her what was going to happen, she replied, "How can this be? I have not been with a man." And I'm going to read the reply of the angel from the American Standard Version, a very literal translation. In Luke 1:37, according to the American Standard Version, this is his reply. "For no word from God shall be void of power." No word of God. God spoke, and he created the world. God's word upholds the world that he created. We read in Hebrews 1:3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The word of God has revealed his will. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy ever came from what a person wanted to say, but people led by the Spirit spoke words of God. Paul says the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right. Using the Scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. The Word of God, spoken by Jesus, performed miracles. Jesus said, "Arise," the lame walked. Jesus said, "Open your eyes," the blind saw. Jesus said, "Come forth," and the dead arose. The Word of God also convicts the hearts of sin. When the crowd at Pentecost heard Peter's sermon, we are told that the word pierced their hearts, that they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Listen to how God describes his word in Hebrews 4:12. God's word is alive and working and is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us, where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones, and it judges the thoughts and feelings in our hearts. We must hear the word of God if we wish to know his will and to believe its claims. No wonder Jesus so often admonished the hearers, "He who has ears, let him hear." Check the history books. All the greatest revivals and restorations in church history occurred at periods of great, strong biblical preaching and of reading of God's word. His word calls those in apostasy back and calls those in the world to come. In the Old Testament, there was a king, and I'm going to pronounce his name wrong because I know the German way of pronouncing it. Is it Josiah? Am I saying that right? Okay. Josiah was a king at 8 years old. Hear what the Bible says of him. It says of him, he did right in the sight of the Lord. In the 18th year of his reign, we could read in 2 Kings 23 that as they're cleaning up the temple, you know what they found? The law of Moses. And they, the law of Moses. Can you imagine the scriptures being gone for all those years? The high priest said, take this and read it to the king. Now, who can do math? What? He was 8 years old when he became king. It's been 18 years. What's 18 plus 8? I heard two different things. 26 years old. The book of the law was read to him. Do you know what Josiah did? He ripped his clothes and was sad because he's seen how wrong the people of Israel and himself were. They were far from their God. He then commanded that this word be read to the people. The people were called to Jerusalem. The word was read to them. And the people ripped their clothes and they mourned. And a great revival started in Israel. The king restored the temple, restored temple worship. He restored everything back according to the law of Moses. And here's what God says of him in 2 Kings 23:25. There was no king like Josiah before or after him. He obeyed the Lord with all his heart, soul, and strength. Important, listen. Following all the teachings of Moses. So according to the word. When Zerubbabel restored the temple after it had been destroyed, he followed once again the word of God in the Old Testament to do it. When Ezra restored the priesthood, when he restored worship, he went to the word and restored it according to what was said in the law of Moses. If we want to be the people of God, we must listen, hear, and obey the word of God as it is in his holy scripture. If we want to be pleasing, this is the only way. That is why Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. The Word of God is holy, true, and powerful. It reveals the will of God. It produces faith in those who hear it with open hearts. It corrects religious error and it convicts the hearts of sin. It guides, it restores, and it gives us hope. In the parable of the sower, Jesus focused upon hearing the word of God. At the end of the story, he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Apostasy from the will of God begins not because the word of God is unknown, but because it goes unheeded. Hebrews 4, 2-7, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. It is still true that some people will enter God's rest, but those who first heard the way to be saved did not enter, because they did not obey. So God planned another day, called today. He spoke about that day through David a long time later in the same scripture used before. Today, listen to what he says. Do not be stubborn. And today is this today. I ask you, Listen to what he says and don't be stubborn. Return to the ways of the Lord and his scripture in your life and in your worship. And if you have not yet put on Christ in baptism and washed away your sins to be added into the church, today he calls you, because tomorrow may never be. Brethren, today is the day. Today, don't harden your hearts, but come as we stand and sing our invitation song.